Jai Ma. So we are continuing with Words of the Mother, Volume 2, which is Volume 14 of the collected works. And today I want to take up a subject, or rather before that, we are seeing many changes happening in the world, which is upsetting many people. But this is exactly part of the divine action, because humanity could progress in its best periods up to a sattvic society, where everything was in good order. We are talking about, you know, if you read the age of Rama and probably, you know, the rishis, a complete sattvic society? No, never, because it's never been. But at least a reasonable amount of sattvic society. But it collapses, because sattva, when everything is fine, it tends to ultimately gravitate towards inertia. Rajasic society goes by momentum, develops outwardly. Again, because it exhausts itself, it gravitates towards inertia. So at some point, spiritualized society has to be attempted. Attempts have been there earlier also. It's not that, you know, but it didn't work out because the base was not ready. Mankind at large was not ready. So we must understand what Sri Aurobindo and the mother are doing is something unprecedented. As an aspiration, it has been there. But it's never really manifested. Maybe in small group, we really don't know, we can't say, but it has never really manifested on a larger scale. So as a result, many of the things are shifting, which are very discomforting to people. Mother said that old bases are getting shaken. So one of the things, and several places when we read Mother and Sri Aurobindo writings, they have given us the new way. What will be the new way? And one of them, which we are going to read today, is on marriage. So marriage is again very sacred and all this. And of course we know that Mother, just before we read it, just to set the tone, when Mother was asked what are the things of the old world that are going to go away, she saw it in a vision. Not just an ordinary vision, detailed vision. She said, I laughed for a few hours because I saw what I saw. Then that time disciple doesn't ask her. After some time he asked her, you saw things going away. What is it that you saw? Then she said one of them was the importance given to asceticism, ascetic life. The mistake that people made, that if you get up early morning, if you eat this kind of food, that if you live in scanty, then you are spiritual. She says that's not true. And now people speak about, you know, ascetics, how they can be very dangerous people. There are some genuine, like Vivekananda is one of those on whom ochre robe suits. But generally speaking, they are very risky. We are reading the Bhagavad Puran. Bhagavad Puran speaks about it. So two of the false forms that Indra assumes to mislead Prithu. One is of a Kapalik, another is of a Sannyasi. It is there in Bhagavad Puran. To cheat him. And he thinks, oh, they are spiritual people. But actually, Atri Rishi tells him that, no, not spiritual. Don't be misguided. So it was an imprint, and Brahma tells him that, see, because Indra has assumed these forms to deceive you, therefore in future these forms will be taken up by men to deceive humanity at large, giving them the feeling that they are on a spiritual journey. It's there in Bhagavad Puran, which is written by Veda Vyas and long back. And there are plenty of such things like that. So many things are going to change, because a new world is a world of truth, not a world of falsehood where society continues to, you know, perpetuate an evil in the name of social sanction. There are things which were valid at one point of time, they become dated at another point of time. There is no human system which doesn't have an expiry date. We have to understand, because in the play of time and space, and we can just look back 5,000 years back, they were kings at one point of time. It was so sacred. You can't speak against the king, because king was regarded as God's representative in Egypt as well as in India. Now, where are the kings? Gone. Time spirit has finished them. This is one example. There are many, many such things which were regarded as sacred are no more sacred. So the other thing when, because mother said two things, so he says, what is the other thing, Ma, apart from ascetic practices? She said the sanctity of marriage. Now this sanctity had a point at one point of time. No doubt about it. If you go into the Vedic idea of marriage, which has eight, describes eight kind of marriages, and out of which six marriages are sanctioned and two of them are not sanctioned by the Vedic system. But today that's broken. Now people are crying. But why they are crying? Because this is a new reshift is going to take place between the man-woman relationship. So one of the things which mother said will go away is hypocrisy. When she was asked, what is it that will go away in the new creation? First she said, why should anything go away? Then she said, if you ask me, hypocrisy. Now, I can say this as a psychiatrist specifically, and fairly aware of the world through letters, through otherwise, that marriage as a system has become very, very problematic for women especially. Many women are in it. They want to come out, but they cannot come out because society will call names. And mother said that particularly for women, and we are blind to it because it's okay. We have accepted the status quo. I'm not saying all marriages, but there are good a number of marriages where it's continuing on a falsehood is continuing. And being an age of truth, it has to change. So then that does it mean that there is nothing like an ideal man-woman relationship? No, there is. But it's not based on marriage. And that's where she is bringing the truth. And we know that what I'm going to read, the mother had given it as a marriage or a blessing to someone. And subsequently in the ashram for a long time, in Shervindo's room, you could receive it as a marriage card. I think now they have stopped the practice. Very beautiful to receive that as a marriage card, as a marriage blessing. So, this is the new marriage. Why? Because in the old system, there are certain vows which husband and wife took. And you have to go back to Shiv Puran. In Shiv Puran, Lord Shiva talks to Parvati and he reveals the vows of marriage. It's a very beautiful document where he says, you know, I will do this and she will do this. And because Shiva Parvati marriage is considered an ideal in Indian society, because it's the happiest, only happy marriage with children. Poor Rama and Sita suffered. Krishna and Radha never got married. And if you see any other great being's marriage, Shiva and Parvati are standalone, ultimate. And I would say not only in Hindu religion, any religion. They are like the ideal of what a marriage life should be. So there were the vows, seven vows which people take. So the seven things around the fire was this vow, which were broken even before they were uttered, or, you know, so it became a falsehood because people took vows. After that, all the thing was how much dowry she has got, what are the connections. So it was a complete falsehood actually. Everywhere, not only in India. So what will be marriage? Actually, marriage is not the right word. Because marriage still reminds us of a social ceremony and a function. What will be the ideal of a man-woman relationship in the sense of a husband and wife? Is there some truth of it? Mother would say, yes, there is a truth of it. But what does it mean? The bar is actually so high, but so beautiful. It surpasses all the seven vows which people talk about. It truly surpasses it. Means I think a lot of change has to take place in human consciousness before one can really touch that ideal. But it's okay. Life is moving in that direction through all permutation combinations, all the, you know, experiments which are going to take place before you touch that. So this is the passage. And this is written in March 1933. To unite your physical lives, your material interests to become partners in order to face together the difficulties and successes, the defeats and victories of life. That is the very foundation of marriage, but you already know that it is not enough. It is understood that henceforth we will face all the challenges together. We'll share the success, we'll share the failures, the joy and the struggle and the difficulties. It's understood that this is the basic foundation. To be united in your sensations, to have the same aesthetic tastes and enjoyments, to be moved in common by the same things, one through the other and one for the other. That is good, that is necessary, but it is not enough. So this kind of marriage where only the sensations and emotions were involved is what is Gandharva Vivaha. Gandharvas live in that. Pramathas live in senses and Gandharvas in the vital. So you are moved by the sensation, oh this is so beautiful, oh that is so beautiful. And both of them, they remind each other and show each other and share with each other the joy of sensations. So that should be union at this level. Physical senses, sense at the level of the senses. Then she says, to be one in your deeper feelings, to keep a mutual affection and tenderness that never vary in spite of all the blows of life. This is first part is easy. You keep affection and tenderness, but doesn't vary with all the blows of life. You continue to experience that tender love and affection. And can withstand every weariness and irritation and disappointment. See the bar she has raised. The Shiva and Parvati becomes way too old. She says that, okay, you say when everything is fine, you have affection and tenderness. But in spite of irritation, disappointments, frustrations apparent, still you continue to shower affection and tenderness. See, affection and tenderness come from the psychic. First of all, we don't even know what is love. We just equate it with physical relation. So, affection and tenderness are in their nature psychic. So, to be always and on every occasion happy. This is the most challenging happiness in marriage. I remember Dara when he came to mother. He asked mother, give me some work, because she was giving work to everyone. Mother gave him the work. Be happy. So after 2 days he comes back and says, mother, give me some other work. This is very difficult. And to be happy while living with another person, unless you are in a psychic state, just not possible. Or you have reached that point where from the wideness you are able to look at things. You are ready to forego anything. You know, forgive is a very big word. You don't use that in relationship. Because you can smile at the person's difficulties. Happy. She's not, mother wants to raise the bar. Extremely happy to be together. This is important. To find in every circumstance tranquility, peace and joy in each other. That is good. That is very good. That is indispensable. But it is not enough. To be happy with each other, to find joy in each other, to be tranquil. I have seen very, very few of this kind. And I must say at this point that most marriages pass through 3 phases. So first is when it's the honeymoon phase. Everything is wonderful. Here you are not seeing the person as the person is. You are seeing your projection in that person. So you paint the person based on your own feelings. And we don't realize. So the person is the best, obviously, because you are projecting. Then comes the difficult phase where the vital comes in and, you know, it's like a boat which is caught in the meshes of, it's going in a river, it gets caught. Most people will not pass through it. Marriages may continue if you have a child. But most people get caught, the boat sinks, or you switch on to other boats, but hold together because society will call names. Most of the men, and I am telling this to you with a very, very wide experience of too many people. I am not saying that exceptions are there, but generally this is what happens. But sometimes, and this used to happen in olden days, when people were more patient and they had no options, there was no internet, thanks. So, you cross this, you accept each other's faults, you accept each other's difficulty, you realize you are not the person whom I loved. But I love the person you are. This takes long. And I normally give a gap of 7 years, the honeymoon period. 7 or 14 years of that challenging period. If you pass through any marriage which enters the silver jubilee, it has gone through many things. But if you have stayed on, now you begin to enjoy each other's company, each other's difficulties, each other's challenges, each other's defects. All is fine. That's not yet the ideal marriage, but at least you stay happy regardless. Now that's, but here she is saying something else, that to be together in every circumstance, tranquility, peace and joy. Heart. So physical, sensation, heart. She has not used the word sexuality. And this is my own understanding based on what I have read. Sexuality is the straight road to destroying a relationship. I'm not talking about it now. Because invariably it opens doors to very dark forces. Because the moment the sexual act by its nature leads to a kind of exhaustion, there is a sudden vital become very unguarded. It's opened now. At that point of time forces enter. And subsequently anger and all this comes in. That's what I see. Whereas if two people can remain without that, just as very beautiful friends, without, then you'll go through everything and come out much more easily. So, it may sound paradoxical. Mother has also not used the word about physical relationship. She has used physical is, you're together sharing all the success and failure. Third is, to unite your minds, rather fourth, to unite your minds. This becomes increasingly difficult. To harmonize your thoughts and make them complementary. Now, complementary is not same as same thoughts. You want to do something, let us say, but you don't know how exactly, you don't have the details, you have a large picture. Let's say you want to start a business. You have a large picture in the mind. Now, complementary means the other partner will fill in all the details. You see, exactly Mother and Shurbindo. Everything that Shurbindo willed and wanted to manifest, the mother stepped in and manifested that. Everything. Anything that, this is the most perfect relationship. That's why I say it's more perfect than Radha Krishna's. Because in manifestation, mother manifested all the dreams of Shurbindo. Because she had that power. Shurbindo, and he says, without the mother, everything would have remained within me and I would have realized, but I would not have been able to give this to the world. So that's what is being referred here, that you not only know the thoughts, but you are complementary. Complementary means that. Complementary is not opposite. Some people take complementary to be opposites. That's not what complementary means. Complementary means you have a certain work to do or a dream to fulfill and your partner has the same dream and work to do, but one person plays the role of the ideative, the other person takes the role of the ground reality and fulfills it. This is where we find in the ancient rishis and their wives. Some of them, beautiful, some of the stories of the ashrams and their nice conversation and dialogues between the man and the woman and, the husband and the wife, the one who is engaged in the practice of yoga actively and the wife, just because she is helping that manifestation, receives everything that he gains. At one place, Shri Aurobindo actually says that. that if there is truly a complementary being and one of them does the sadhana, the Shakti gets all the gains. She doesn't have to do anything. Because by the very fact she joins and manifests. So, to turn your minds, to harmonize your thoughts and make them complementary. Again, complementary is not opposites. Complementary is that both are striving for the same. One is ideative, second is fulfilling it. To share your intellectual preoccupations and discoveries. In short, to make your sphere of mental activity identical. See, so it's not opposites. Identical through a widening and enrichment acquired by both at once. That is good, that is absolutely necessary, but it is not enough. This is not enough. And this is where I see many marriages, they don't even enter this domain. So hardly, I mean, even when people take to a spiritual life, they're both busy with their own thing. And if you have different goals, it's totally different. And together, when you enrich, together maybe, you know, read together, simple practices. Read together, meditate together, try to understand something together. One of the famous mantras of the Rig Veda, Sangha Chattvam, Sangvadattvam, Sangho Manasi, Janata, that may we come together, may we think together, may we speak together with one voice. That is the ideal. So this is very good, and she says it is absolutely necessary, but it is not enough. This gives us a very clear clue why marriages fail. And to try to push them together forcibly is never a good thing. Because you have taken away the evolutionary possibility. There is a very nice saying of Sri Ramakrishna. He says, God laughs twice. Like Shobinda said, God laughed thrice at Sankara. Sri Ramakrishna also says, this is God laughs twice on two occasions. So one is when divine has decided, God has decided that I'll take away this soul, and the physician says, no, I'm going to save him. When the destiny has worked to take away someone, because that's needed, and the physician says, I'm going to save. God laughs that I have decided what you want to do. Second is when destiny has decided that the two will be separated, married couple. And people try to somehow bring them together. And in fact, Sri Ramakrishna's life is a very good example of that. He got married. He never, as far as we understand, in fact, both Sri Aurobindo and Sri Ramakrishna never had physical relation with a wife. Sri Aurobindo, in one of his passing remarks to one of the friend, speaks about it. And the person says that, that is not possible. Can you do it? He said, yes, I've already done it. Something to that effect. I'm forgetting the name. In revolutionary days. Somebody from revolutionary days. Never had physical relation. Same with Sri Ramakrishna. But Sri Ramakrishna's story is very touching. So the day he gets married, so on the day of whatever honeymoon people say, so he goes to Shardama and says, with folded hands, you want to become mother of one child, mother of many children, or mother of the world? She remained quiet and says, mother of the world. Then Sri Ramakrishna bowed at her feet and said, Joy Ma. These are the benchmarks. See, in India we have loved these extreme characters. Krishna and Radha, for example, their love, not what is projected in TV as purely vital love. They never got married. And Radha continues to love him all her life. And for Sri Krishna, Radha is the ultimate. They never got married. They both got married to different people. And Radha is elder to Krishna in age. But look at that love. So these are the ideals. Sri Rama and Sita never enjoyed what can be called as a typical married life. And yet they are considered as the highest ideals. So this is how one has to understand. So what makes the story of Rama and Sita so special? Let's put that. Now comes that last part. Of course, Mother and Sri Aurobindo, to me, I feel, I mean, very impersonally I am saying, having read so many lives, that if there is an ideal of marriage, this is the ideal. They never got married, and yet it's the ultimate ideal of what an ideal partner should be. So much so they never had meal together except once. That too in a great hurry. And yet the togetherness. They didn't live in the same room. Many people don't know. But they lived next to each other. And Sri Aurobindo would wait. When will mother come? He would ask often. Look at the clock and ask. Has the mother come? Sometimes after again 10 minutes. Because he would go into domains beyond we can imagine. Has the mother come? And then at 11 night, Champaklalji says, mother is come, she is discussing with someone. I suppose I can rest now. That kind of degree, because he was keeping a watch, protecting her. And so was mother protecting him. When, you know, several, but otherwise, generally, it was Sri Aurobindo protecting the mother from behind. And that's what he said in the Second World War when he broke his, he fell down and broke the, he said, I was busy protecting the mother because she was actively engaged in the war. She's the Shakti. So when we look at their Leela, it is so wonderful at every little thing. And only once they ate together and always in a hurry. So mother said, I suppose I can also have the bread. Champaklalji says in 40 years he never saw. In 30 years he never saw them eat together. One meal they ate together. So that is the kind of ideal they have kept before us. That's why I feel all this that is happening, people are meeting, separating, is part of the game, because that's how humanity does experimentation till it finally reaches that point. So old paradigm, whatever destiny was, that's the end of the story, is gone, because that's a sattvic way. Very, very nice. Old world paradigm, it worked very well that, you know, marriages are made in heaven, suffered on earth, but so be it. You accept the suffering as part of God's plan. But there is something called as an ideal marriage. This exists in very ancient Vedic lore. And that's what Sri Aurobindo and the mother are bringing together. So all these are fine. Physical, senses, vital, emotional and mental. To be united together. But there is something more. She says it's not enough. Beyond all that, in the depths, at the center, at the summit of the being, there is a supreme truth of being. In eternal, an eternal light, independent of all the circumstances of birth, country, environment, education. None of these count. It could be different countries. You may be speaking different languages. You may have been born and brought up in a different environment. You may be, your educational background may be completely different. Even uneducated, what does it matter? You have to see whether at the core and at the summit you are one. That is the most important. No panchang and all that matchmaking kundali. Now most of the people don't even know what is at their core. So obviously, and I know personally so many situations, people where they got married and then one person suddenly turned in a very beautiful way, open towards a greater light, and the other person did not. And then what happens? Again, socially it may continue or it may collapse. Difficult to say which is better. But the fact remains that that is the core where the union must take place. That means in the same aspiration and the same goal. So now she says something still further. That is the origin, cause and master of our spiritual development. It is that which gives a permanent direction to our lives. It is that which determines our destinies. It is in the consciousness of that that you must unite. It's so difficult. Sri Aurobindo has said 50 times these things fail. It's rare to find the complementary being. If you find, you are already very fortunate. And even then, to continue with that, it's not easy, because maybe the feminine part, the Shakti, or maybe the masculine, they both may be on the same path. But one person may not, and it may collapse completely. This was asked to Sri Aurobindo in evening talks. He says, 50 times out of 50, once probably you may find the right person who is meant for you. And often people say that, and people are very, you know, romantically looking for partners. I say, see, Sri Aurobindo and the mother, if you look their previous lives, nowhere you can find. Okay, if you say Mona Lisa is the mother and Sri Aurobindo is Da Vinci, but whether Mona Lisa actually existed or not, we don't know. One life where, you know, the person is murdered and the lady, she loved him and jumps along with him. It's another life. Other lives, you don't see any kind of physical togetherness. And yet, they are prepared through God knows how many births and lives to reach that point of togetherness. So, for impatient people, it doesn't work. For impatient people, Pandit is okay. He will say something, he does. Nowadays, you have e-marriages, so you can click on a button and mantras will come and the flame will come and you move around. But she is giving us the deepest truth. I have not found this anywhere in any scripture, frankly. It is in the consciousness of that you must unite. That is the meaning of the fire of aspiration in the center. Or the meaning of joining together in church or in temple, because in front of God you are uniting. So in India, because fire stood for both, for the inner divinity as well as the sacred fire which is above. So it worked as a symbol of both. So fire is at the center. If the man tries to be at the center, if the woman tries to be the center, you burn yourself. To be one in aspiration and ascension. And how problematic it can be sometimes. You know, there is the whole story of Gautam Rishi and Ahilya. Many people don't know this story, so I'll just narrate. So they are both on a divine project together. We know that Ahilya is given a curse or whatever. So they are ascending higher and higher and higher together. Just like this ideal. Then what happens? Indra is always like, yeah, there's too much, he'll become another Indra. And he's, in all fairness, it's his job description. So he has to basically test, are they ready or not? So one day early morning, Ahilya, Gautam Rishi's wife, Gautam Rishi has gone to some place, his own morning duties. Okay. Take a shower. And Ahilya goes, and on the ponds he sees now these, Indra is playing, you know, first as smart young men. And within her, for a moment, she gets moved. This is a whole story which people many times don't recount. And then Indra comes apparently in the garb of her husband. Actually, as per the original story, she recognized this is Indra. But she says, it's okay. This is my opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, if you read the story. So, they have whatever people have. Then as he is going out, now Gautam Rishi is coming. And he sees and he understands everything what has happened. And at that point of time, he curses his wife, Ahilya. She says, you have behaved like, a woman who cannot understand things at this stage, like a jada. So may you become like that. So she doesn't get transformed into stone the way it's shown, but she becomes jada. She also realizes that what she has done, she falls. Because they were on like critical movement towards the great discovery. And then she falls. And she becomes jada. Means she would hardly speak, hardly do anything. almost in a catatonia till Lord Rama comes, and then she ascends to something higher. And right or wrong, all that discussion is a different side. And obviously it's not today, you don't have rishis doing that kind of tapasya. And but that is the whole story of complementary beings. It's not easy to be a complementary being and walk together, because you have to say walk at the, to be one in aspiration and ascension. You cannot say that, okay, I am going, come. No. To be together in aspiration and ascension. That's why one of the things which is so, one can understand why this ancient idea, which is broken now, again, it has its plus and minus, that two people somewhere around the same age, when they go through, at a very pragmatic level, it helps. Why? Because you go through similar experiences. You go through whatever vital, emotional. But supposing the man is much older or the woman is much older and the other partner is much younger, then there is a need to go through certain experiences as part of your growth journey. And difficult. People, it's not that it cannot be done. It can be done, but it's difficult because you reach a point after so many steps. And when you are there, you can say certain things and live in a certain way, but the other person is not ready. So these are the real practical difficulties which the Vedic Rishi tried to address, and addressed it beautifully. To be one in aspiration and ascension. First of all, the aspiration should be same, and ascension. Together, you are helping each other ascend. So what does it mean? It's like, you see, ascension, how they can be together. It's a typical story of King Pulastya. He's a Rishi. And he's doing sadhana, and at that point of time, this lady, his wife, Kaikashi, she comes and says, "No, such a lovely weather, let's go together." Whatever. She says, "No, I have to finish my sadhana." And he says, no, sadhana you can do later, anytime you can do it. And then they have physical relation together. And who is born out of that relation of a Rishi and his wife, who is, she was a daughter of apparently a demonic character. Out comes Ravan. So aspiration changes into inordinate ambition of becoming God, of becoming the king of the worlds, but through the path of ambition. So there are many, quite a number of stories which are like that, where, I mean, even Diti's child, Hiranyakashipu, what are the two original Asura? Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. They are both born when Diti goes and talks to Kashyap Rishi that I am feeling very, very much, I mean, in a mood, and he says, but this not the time. So they used to respect, like early morning sunrise and late evening when the sun is setting. So in Indian thought, they are never good for physical intercourse relation. And the reason is that this is the time, as we heard like a story, but it's very interesting. This is the time when Shiva is taking round of the world. So you have to give that respect, that be quiet and meditative. And it's so true that early morning, where the sun is rising, I'm not speaking of 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, when the sun is rising and when the sun is setting, there is a great calm which sets. And that is just the wrong time to, you know, because your nature and the forces of nature don't support a certain activity. So in the ancient time, they used to take even this into consideration. So night, when the dark forces are very prominent, sexual activity and many other things, all of them become active. Whereas daytime, it's normal course, it's not something which is supposed to be active. And so all this was taken into consideration. But here it's about ascension together. So to be one in aspiration and ascension, to move forward at the same pace, on the same spiritual path. If you really want an ideal union, then obviously you can't, two people, two dogs pulling in different directions. That's how death describes to Savitri, that I know what husband and wife are. He doesn't know that that's not what Savitri is. But he says, like two dogs bound by a single leash, pulling in different directions and barking at their situation. So that's what, because even in spiritual life, if you have different goals, because there are different goals, there are different aspirations. And if you try to bring together, it can create a dissonance. There are some paths which don't gel. And sometimes even when they gel, I have seen such thing. One of them I remember, a very, very nice couple otherwise, but very unhappy. And you'll be surprised if you get to know. Because one had turned towards Sri Aurobindo and the other was a staunch Krishna Bhakta. Now this would have been the most easiest to gel together. I stayed at their home for a day or two. But I could sense that there is so much of strain. And both, one is committed to Sri Aurobindo, bhakti. The other is committed to Sri Krishna. Amazing. But they couldn't gel together. Even when they come, one of them will go to Vrindavan, the other will come to Pondicherry. So it's not just about in general spiritual life and, you know, all is good. It has to be the same path and the same goal, because otherwise there will be dissonance. You are pulled in different directions. To move forward at the same pace on the same spiritual path means that if the other person is not simultaneously progressing, you are tied together. That's why it is said that in marriage you tie the destiny together. So if one falls, you also fall. Because it has to be together at the same pace. Marriage, it is said that destinies are changed. And I do believe, because even with mothers, because you are joining in a very, very firm way. There is a very interesting story here of a lady who lived here in the ashram for 2 years after her education. Then she wanted to go, get experience of the outside world, get married and all that. She wanted to get married. She loved somebody. And so when she went for darshan, mother asked her to wait. So she thought she doesn't know what mother is going to give or say. So after everybody was over, mother called her and gave her a blessing packet and she went away. So Champaklalji asked her, why did you make her wait for... I mean, she did exactly what she did to everyone else. She said, no, she had a certain destiny. But because she decided now to get married, I had to take away all of that and rewrite. Because now it's a new condition under which she has to go. Ultimate goal will not change, but your journey will change. So the person with whom you live, the person with whom you get married, the person whom you love, all these change our destiny, influence our destiny, let me put it like that. And do have a strong influence if you are permanently with someone, permanently from worldly point of view. To move forward at the same pace on the same spiritual path. And it's not just about outwardly moving, I am adopting the same. Because in India particularly, you adopt the same religion. It's not about that. No cheating, cheating not allowed. In India, women, when they get married, they adopt the religion of the husband's family. It's not about that. It's about the aspiration. Most people are not even aware of their aspiration. Even in aspiration towards Sri Aurobindo and the mother and this yoga, you see different lines opening up. But still, it's okay. Same spiritual path. That's why marriages outside the circle were not allowed. We're not encouraged. So people didn't understand it. So many times in the ashram, when somebody fell in love with someone outside, and the mother was not happy about it, but then sometimes she told, okay, you can go. Then the person had to leave the ashram, get married and go through that experience. It's not because ashram is a closed community, but because now you have chosen to link your destiny with someone who is not ready. So it's a compassion. If the divine accepts that, it's going to destabilize the other person. Normally, this is what she would do. But this is another example, very interesting, where someone, before marriage, the lady got pregnant and the person is in the ashram. So she called her together and she got them married and made the lady also an ashram inmate. She was just an ordinary, I mean ordinary is the wrong word, but she was just working in one of the departments, like a worker. But that is mother's vision. It was not based on any social and moral nuances of life or rules. But because it has a strong impact. Imagine somebody comes under the influence of a tremendous force. You are not ready. You are brought into the nuclear reactor where, you know, big radiation is taking place. And you are not ready, it will destroy you. So with some people, she would send away. With others, she would say, okay, you can get married. And the best story is, and both husband and wife have both told me this, they wanted to get married, they asked mother, both are in the ashram now. Mother said, okay, get married. Then after some time, the lady wants a child. So they asked the mother, we want a child. Mother said, okay, one child. They had a child. The child became an ashram inmate. Technically, from the moment of birth, people don't know these stories. They have all these fantastic ideas of rules and regulations, which is okay. Now, because that vision is missing. And the child had a choice when she grew up that you can become an ashramite if you want right away. She chose not to. Very fine girl, because she wanted to experience whatever life. She is now part of the ashram. But how they went through. So that's her vision, where she could see all these things. There was nothing like a blanket rule. It was not like a monastery. But there were people who were married and who came, like A.B. Purani and his wife. There were people who came here, had a friend, but when their wife came, mother said, don't meet except in my presence. Dhyuman Bhai. So it was not based on a rule as the mind may understand. It was based on the inner understanding, vision of what is the aspiration, what is the complementarity, how they can be together. All this she saw. It was a compassion for everyone. Nothing else but compassion. So that's what. Same pace on the same spiritual path. That is the secret of a lasting union. Glad we are reading it in March. March is anyways the, I think, marriage month in India. After Shivratri, it starts. In India, after Purnima, one of the... Shivratri, na? After that, you can get married, because they are regarded as the ideal couple. And then, but see, what is that ideal couple? Parvati has no problem that Shiva has no car. And he moves with a serpent around. No issues. And she takes care of everything. So, that was ideal. But who? He is a tapasvi of tapasvis. Not like takes care. See, that's why all this falsehood came in. Because people started... I remember on a lighter note, one of my masajis, and he and his wife, and we were all going together in Varanasi, and they saw a picture of Vishnu Bhagwan on the Seshnag sleeping, and Lakshmiji is pressing his feet. Whatever be the merit of this vision, he said, see, do you understand? Lakshmiji, ideal. My Mossy tells him, yes, show me once sleeping on a bed of snakes and dreaming beautiful things about creation. I'll do it for you. Of course, that serpent is the great Seshnag time. But you try. So, another, as I said, one of the jokes, some lady joking with Niruddha says, I am looking for my Satyavan. He says, I am your Satyavan. Jokingly. He says, hey, this kind of Satyavan, looking dark and all this. He said, as is Savitri, because she is also dark, and as is Savitri, so is Satyavan. So, but basically, there is something like a perfect pair. And it comes from the truth of Ishwara and Shakti. This Shurvindo reveals in latest writings in 49. He says that all truth behind the sexual impulse could not be eliminated in the supramental creation. These are his words. All crudeness has to go. All that, the ascetic thing has to go. All crudeness, all that has to go. But the all entire truth cannot be eliminated because it finds its justification in the relation of Ishwara and Shakti. When he talks about the sexual impulse and the food, their transformation. So while all the gross, crude, so-called whatever animal thing has to go completely, but the truth of a man and woman relationship finds its sanction. That's why human beings, right from the days of Adam and Eve, and we have Manu and Shatrupa, are searching for it. But it's very difficult. So that's why the first focus should be on purifying, on discovering the psychic, your path. What Shobindu has suggested is that, and if you are destined for it, you will find. Don't try to find and do a matchmaking based on this. Try to find the divine. And if it is destined that the person who is meant to be your complementary, but these are the checklist. Most important checklist is same aspiration, same path, same goal. If this is not there, all else is can be a big show outwardly. Your thoughts may match, your feelings may gel, but if that is not there at the core, this is a serious problem. Today or tomorrow it will come. But when that is there, if it is so meant that you have to discover or come together, maybe you may discover but not live together, like, you know, so many examples. Because still the journey is going on a certain path in a certain way. So one has to be very clear about it, that this is the ideal. It exists because it's an ideal. One day it will realize itself. But our focus should not be not on finding the ideal partner, but on finding the truth within. And as we discover it, grow into it, live by it, automatically our outer life will start getting gradually rearranged. Arranged and rearranged and rearranged to be more and more in tune with this inmost truth. That's why we will see many disturbances today, because the old social thing was either a farce or a falsehood. It was an order, no doubt about it. It created and maintained a social order. But divine does not care about social order. He cares about truth. Chema.